tonight, but please turn with me. This is our third message in this series on the battle for the mind, and we are going through this. I'm laying down a foundation that will help you understand and have insight into many of the scriptures and teachings in the New Testament. Many times we think we're being told things, and it's just a case of obey it without any understanding. I believe these messages will begin to open up your understanding to how this works. Why do we meditate on the Word of God? Why do we hide it in our heart? Why do we read the Word of God? Why do we spend time with our minds memorizing the Word of God? I believe these messages will very much help you to understand that. Here tonight, please turn with me to Psalm 139, reading from verse 1 through to verse 18. And my message is the human brain. Reading from Psalm 139. And before the night's over, I am going to go to Romans chapter 6, my favorite chapter in the Bible, but not to the end of the message. But I just want to read Psalm 139 here tonight as we begin to deal with the human brain. You'll remember already that in our first message, we looked at Romans chapter 8, and we looked at either your natural mind is controlled by the carnal man, by the flesh, and if your mind is controlled by the flesh, then you're carnally minded. Or if your natural mind is controlled or influenced by the Holy Spirit, then you're spiritually minded. That was our first message, that we saw either you're born again or you're lost in your sin. Either you're carnally minded or you're spiritually minded. Either your mind is under the control of the flesh or it's under the control of the Holy Spirit. That is a very clear thing, and that's where we started. Then last week we looked at as a man thinketh, or as the scripture says, as he thinketh, so is he. And we looked last week at the place of the mind, how much the Bible talks about the mind, and how your thinking affects your decisions, your conversations, your talk, your words, all manners of things. Everything that happens in your life, it has a source in your mind. What you begin to think will have an outlet in your life. But here tonight, I'm moving on to the brain. We dealt with the mind last week, but we're dealing with the brain, the human brain. Reading from Psalm 139 and verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and shall dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. My message tonight, the human brain. As we look at Psalm 139, and I'm not going to say much on this psalm tonight, but let me point out three remarkable things in Psalm 139. We are told that when we were being formed in our mother's womb, that God was there witnessing it, recording each member being formed within his own book. Do you realize that your brain within your skull was one of those members? And that for each one of you, God recorded the formation, the forming, the growth, the taken size of that brain. That's remarkable that my God was there as a witness within my mother's womb, watching the formation of my brain. My physical brain isn't something just worldly, of no consequence. It is a vital part. And you know what? My brain is going to be resurrected one day. It doesn't get cast away. It's a creation of God. It's a gift of God. It's not just something lesser of no consequence. And you know what? God was there recording the formation of my brain. That's the first great thought in this psalm. Another great thought in this psalm is that God knows our thoughts. What does he say in the opening verses? That he has searched me and known me, and that thou compass my paths. What a remarkable thing that God knows everything about us. He knows every thought, every imagination, every word of the lips. Do you realize God was not only there at the time of your mother's womb, carefully recording everything, but actually now in your spiritual walk, in your mature grown-up life, he is watching every thought. And don't think this is just negatively. When you fear, when you're in distress, when you need help, when you're going, how am I going to manage? God says, don't you know I know your thoughts afar off? Not only was I there when your brain was formed in your mother's womb, now all the thoughts that go on within your heart, don't I know them? Don't I see them? Aren't I searching your inward parts? That's the second thought. But then the third thought, these are all thoughts about thoughts. That's what they are. And in fact, the entire Bible is God's thought about our thoughts. That's what it is. But there's a third thing here, and he actually goes on to say here, after talking about taking note of the formation of your body. In verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. The psalmist is talking about God's thoughts. Do you know God thinks? Do you know that? Do you know God has always thought? God has a mind. The Bible teaches this. And in fact, aren't we told in the Bible that we are made in the image of God? That's why you think. That's why you've got the ability. That's why you have a brain. It's because God thinks. That's why he made you with this faculty of thinking. It is actually a mirror image. It is a creation of God. It is in the image of God. Actually, God thinks about you. He not only thinks generally, but he has very specific thoughts for you. God actually, in his mind, thinks about you. In fact, he thought about you before you were formed in your mother's womb. In fact, let me go further. Before he created the planets, before he created the angels, before he created time, he thought of you. That was his foreknowledge. He knew you before time. Saints, when you begin to spend time, you see, these are all thoughts. I'm forcing you tonight to think about things. And as you think about them, I hope you're like me tonight in reading this psalm, that I go, Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Yeah. This is remarkable that he's there watching the formation of my brain, all of my members, that he is there thinking thoughts about me. Surely thou, it says, for if I should count all of your thoughts, they are more in number than the sand. Go to the beach and try to count the sand on the seashore. And if by any shocking imagination of the mind that you could ever do that in an entire lifetime, I mean a small beach, only a small one, find the smallest beach and count every speck of sand, every single one of them. And when you've done that, then you'll only be beginning to understand how many thoughts God has towards you. Saints, God has many thoughts. And you know how he wants to reveal them to you? Through the word of God. That's how he communicates his thoughts. I love you. I desire you. I have a plan for you. I desire to fellowship with you. Saints, these things are too remarkable. Here tonight, I want to begin to deal with the human brain, because I reached a point this afternoon, I said, this is too much for me. We'll have to come back next week. I just can't contain it, explain it. I cannot preach it as I had want to. But listen, we're dealing with the human brain. We dealt with the mind last week, but we're dealing with the physical, natural brain in this message here tonight. Let me give you four very powerful and profound points about the human brain. Here tonight, my first point, and it's very important. Write this down if you're taking notes. It's very important you know this and never forget it. I mentioned it last week, but I'm going to explain it here. My first point, the mind and the brain are distinct. What do I mean by that? The mind and the brain are different. They're not the same. We talk about the brain and the mind as if it's the same. It's not the same. And it's important you understand this. Let me explain here. Remember last week what we said, the mind is a part of the soul. You according to 2 Thessalonians 5, you are spirit, you are soul, and you are body. You are literally made of three parts. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. A body is the physical part of you. What is your soul? Your soul is the will, the mind, and the emotions. That's who you are. That's your personality. That is your character. That is who defines who you are. Your body isn't who you are. All the body is a shell, an instrument, a vehicle. But you, your personality, how you think, what you feel, what you choose, what you desire, that's the soul, and that's who you are. Then we also have a spirit. Now we know that in the Garden of Eden, God created man. First he created his body, then he breathed the breath of life, the spirit, into him. And when the spirit hit the physical body, a soul was created. Three parts of man from the beginning. And you know what? When God first created man, the spirit communicated with God. It was the spirit, the spiritual man, the spiritual enlivened being that dominated everything. In other words, the soul came under the spirit and used the body to worship and glorify God. But when Adam and Eve sinned, you know what happened? The spirit died. The light went out. The spirit sank down into darkness and sin. In other words, it couldn't feel God and couldn't communicate with God and couldn't fellowship with God. The spirit was dead. And you know what? When you were born into this world, your spirit was dead. The candle was out. There is no light, no awareness of God. But you know what? Your soul was very much alive and your body was alive. And you know what you learned through many years? You learned how the soul is ruled by the body through the five senses. In other words, seeing and hearing and all the senses dictate to your body what to do. It literally tells your body, and the strong passions and feelings of the physical body, of hunger and of tiredness and of sexual desires, all these things dominated your soul and actually molded your soul to do. So your soul became a servant of the body. But saints, you know what happens in salvation and conversion? God changes us again. Your spirit comes alive. The candle is turned on. The Holy Spirit comes to live in your Holy Spirit. Now your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens to your soul? Your soul begins to get sanctified. Your emotions and your thoughts, that doesn't happen overnight. That is a whole lifetime process. Your spirit is alive unto God. It is perfect. It cannot sin. And yet your soul is in this battlefield of the mind. That's where the mind is, in your soul. And it's a process. It is a walk with God. And you know what a part of that process is? It's telling your body, you're going to serve the living God. You can't allow that body to tell you what to do. You, the person, the soul, the born again man, must tell that body, you know what, you're getting up out of your bed. You know what, you're going to go to bed. You know what you're going to do without a meal? Do you know what? You're going to stop falling asleep. You're trying to read your Bible. You watch a movie. Your eyes are wide open. Then you come to read the Bible. You get a sentence through. You begin to yawn. Well, you better tell that body what to do. Because at the minute, that body and all the feelings of the flesh are telling you what to do. Since the mind, listen this closely. Remember what I said, the mind and the brain are different, they're distinct. The mind is in the soul. The brain is in the body. Two different parts of man. The mind is not in the body, it's not. It's in the soul. It's not an unseen part of man. But your brain is part of the physical body. The brain is actually a physical member. It's visible as well if we open up your skull. And it is the chief organ used by the mind. It is the physical instrument that the mind uses to function in this world. And listen, when a Christian dies, his soul goes immediately into the presence of God. His mind, his thinking immediately goes into the presence of God, but not his brain. When he dies, his brain goes in the grave and it'll decay and it'll remain there in the earth until the resurrection. That's what happens to your brain. So your brain and your mind are two different things. The mind is who you are. The brain is a physical, almost cold instrument. Don't think, see, lots of people in this generation teach that the mind is the brain. And in fact, in contemporary society, they'll tell you you're the product of your brain. That's a lie. I am not the product of my brain. My mind tells my brain what to do. But I do know there's lots of people, their brain tells their mind what to do. You see, in this generation, they say, we're a product of evolution. The brain is a product of evolution. We started with a lizard's brain. Now we have a human brain. It's amazing that we've evolved like this. They actually tell you, you're a victim of biology. You're a victim of your body. Of your natural physical brain. You're a victim of your upbringing or your circumstance or your DNA. Well, my dad always got angry. That's why I always got angry. You see, we have been taught through evolution, you're a poor victim. You're a poor soul. You're not responsible for anything. And you know what? That your every word, and this is what the experts say, they try to say that your words, your actions, your choices, your thoughts are all the product of your physical brain and you're not responsible for anything. And in fact, your brain is ruling you and running your life and you don't even know what is happening. That's what they say. In fact, they say the choices are made for us by our brain and that we're not responsible for that brain. That's why they excuse the homosexual. Or in the future, they'll excuse a child abuser. They'll say he's a victim of his biology and of his body and of evil. devolution, and he's not responsible for himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? The brain is distinct from the mind. It's not the same. The brain is just a physical member, and without the mind, the brain cannot function. And also, the mind does not operate through the body without the brain. They work together, and this is God's plan. Let me show you from Scripture in Romans chapter 7, 22. It talks there about the inward man of the heart, the spiritual man. It's talking about that inward life of God. You're born again. Then in the next verse it says, but I see another law in my members, in my body, in my physical body. So notice, spiritually in the inward man of the soul. He says there is an inward man. There is a living person. But he says, but I see another law in my physical body, in the members of my body, in my brain, and in the whole function of my physical body. I see a law warring against the law of my mind. What law of the mind? He says our minds, if born again, are under the control of the Holy Spirit. We have a new mind. We have a mind renewed by the Holy Spirit. And he says there's a law in our physical members warring against the law of our mind. Since it's a mind under the Holy Spirit. And you know what he's saying? The mind can be in a war with the physical member of the brain. There is a warfare actually going on, even in our natural body. Your body is not, let me say it again, your body, your brain should not, is not in control of your mind. The mind tells the body what to do. The mind is to rule over the brain. Since the brain is not to tell your mind how to think, your mind is meant to tell your physical brain how to function. You may not understand this until I teach all of this tonight, okay? Just hold that for a second. That's my first thought. And I don't expect you to understand. I'm going to say things tonight you maybe have never heard in your life. Maybe never. In fact, you'll say, surely that cannot be true. Surely he's got his scientific facts wrong. You know, I'm glad for a word in biology, in science, in the medical profession. It's called neurotheology. You'll say, what's neurotheology? Well, it's the theology of what God says about the brain. So I'm not a medical man tonight. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. And I'm way out of my realm here on what I'm teaching on. But I do have a right to speak about the brain. And it's called neurotheology. God has a theology about the brain. So will you allow me to be a neurotheologian here tonight just for a few moments? This is not my expertise. This is almost foreign language for me. And I'm conveying to you what they're saying in this generation. And I find it extraordinary. I find it extraordinary. So the first point is the mind and the brain are distinct. But second of all, let's look at the brain. Its function, how it operates, what God created. Because you know what? He's created something for you to use with your mind. The brain has been given to you to use with your mind. Your mind is to use the brain. But I want to begin to explain what God has given you as a member or an instrument or as a part of the body. Let's look at the brain. The brain is located in the head. Now the head in the Bible and Scripture, listen to what it represents. In Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the head of the church. So we begin to see that Christ is the head of the church, or the head of the body. A church is meant to function like a body, and Christ, like the head, is meant to communicate with the body. When you begin to understand this, you understand a lot more as I explain about the brain. Think of Christ being the brain to the church. Now, the head is protected by the skull, which is made up of 22 different parts of bone. That's what goes up to make your skull. And they're joined together to protect this organ called the brain. The brain actually within the skull cap floats in a bath of fluid, which acts like a shock absorber. That's why when you get hit or damaged, there's a protection for your brain. If someone hits you on the head or you're in an accident, all this fluid within the shell of the skull actually protects you. And in fact, the brain itself produces half a cup of fluid every single day. There's a process continually going on. So your brain held within the hard skull is actually protected. Now the brain dwells near the functions of vision, of hearing, of balance, of taste, of smell. That's where the brain is. All these things are there, where your actual brain is. And the brain is the most complex organ in the human body. There's nothing compares with your natural brain. All muscles, every single muscle in your body is connected directly to the brain. And your brain sends the instructions to every part of your body. I mean every part of your body. Telling it what to do, how to function. If your brain stopped functioning, your whole body would immediately close down. It wouldn't stand a chance. And here the brain, as the head, is telling every member of the body what to do. It is the center of the human nervous system. Almost like a powerful computer, and I'm going to liken it to a computer tonight. And yet I have to at the same time say, it's nothing like a computer. It's nothing. In fact, this is the worst example I can use, is to say the brain is like an example. And yet it's the only example I can use to help you to begin to understand what I mean. So I'm saying it is like a computer. And yet I'm telling you at the same time, it's nothing like a computer. And you'll understand as I go along here. So here it is the center of the nervous system controlling our thoughts, our speech, our movements, our memories, our decisions, holding all of these things. It is responsible for keeping your body running all the day long. You're breathing. Every faculty, your heart pumping. Your brain is actually saying, keep pumping, heart, right now sitting here. You can't hear it. You're not even conscious of what your brain is doing in your body. Your brain is, I'm going to explain to you how active it is. It's telling your heart to keep pumping. It's telling your body what temperature you should be. It's sending trillions of bits of information through your entire body every single minute, and yet you're utterly unconscious of it. You're not conscious of any of this happening, and yet your brain is literally running the entire thing. The typical brain comprises of about only 2% of your total body weight. It's about 3 pounds in weight. I think some people have a smaller brain, to be honest. But it's about 2% of your body weight. But it uses 20% of the total amount of energy in your body. It also uses 20% of your oxygen intake. Just your brain relies on 1/5 of all the oxygen you breathe in. It also receives 30% of all the blood being pumped by your heart. That is a big dependence. Your brain is utterly reliant and dominates the whole function of the entire physical body. In fact, the experts say there's about 400 miles of blood vessels within your brain. Every minute, about a liter, if you think of a liter of Coke, a cola, that's how much blood passes through your brain every single minute. Just constantly, every minute, every hour, of every day, of every week, it cannot stop. It can't stop for 5 minutes, or you're finished, you're in serious trouble. You'll have brain damage. The brain, this 3 pound brain floating in your skull, is made up of about 75% water. 3/4 of it. That's why if you have 2% dehydration, your brain is immediately affected. Its ability to think, to concentrate, to remember. That's why, as my wife has always told me, have you drunk water today? Have you drunk enough water? 98% of the time, I even if I don't say it, I think, no. I never drink enough water. But that's why it's so important that you drink water. This brain is a part of the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you don't drink water, if you don't look after it, you're actually affecting a part of the function of the brain. But listen also, 60% of the dry weight, remember I said 3/4 of it was water, but 60% of the dry weight of your brain is fat. It's, in fact, it's the most fatty organ in your body, and it relies on fat. It feeds on fat. That's why if you exterminate all fat from your diet, it does have an effect on your brain as well. Also, it's 25% of the, it contains 25% or demands 25% of the body's cholesterol within the brain. That's where 25% of your cholesterol actually abides. Now, ladies, close your eyes for just a minute because you may fall out with me on this one. Men's brains, and I can't keep this to myself, and Ian, you make sure you listen, you'll want to know this now. Men's brains are 10% bigger than women's, okay? That is a scientific medical fact. No lady can argue with me. Go check, go Google it, read Wikipedia or something else. But listen, that isn't the end of the story. However, and this is the however, that part of the brain that most strongly linked to memory, okay, that part of your brain that's connected to remembering things is almost always larger in women, okay? We're made differently. Men and women are not the same. That's why when I say, where is my t-shirt? Kana says, it's in the cupboard. I go, it's not there, I'm standing. I've looked there 3 times. You men can identify with this. You ladies can identify. There, I am sure there's something medically, scientifically in this. I know there is. I watched this for 13 years. It's not in the cupboard. Yes, it is. It's not on the hanger. Yes, it is. Almost 99.9% of the time she walks there and points straight at it and they go, it wasn't there before. I looked on that shelf. I know it wasn't there. Now, Albert Einstein's, just to prove that big brains are having 10% bigger. So Ian, your balloon was just popped there. Albert Einstein, the man who's considered the most intelligent man in world history, the most famous for his brain was actually 10% smaller than the average man. So big brains don't mean anything, so don't get puffed up, you guys, against the ladies. They are more intelligent, so science tells us. But let me show you more about this brain. They say that the average person thinks about 50,000 thoughts a day. They actually say that about, we have 40 thoughts a second. 40 thoughts a second. And that every 10 seconds we have a conscious thought. Every 10 seconds. Now I'm making the difference between being unconscious, where your mind, like I told you tonight, your body is sending out information. You're having tens of thousands of thoughts. You're not even conscious of them. And if your brain didn't think that, your body would be affected. But listen, you have a conscious, an aware thought every 10 seconds. In other words, at least 6 every minute. In other words, these thoughts come up. You're aware of it. You make a conscious decision. You weigh it up and you decide something every 10 seconds. You may not believe that. Just start counting. Remember what I said last week about the mind. The mind is the gatekeeper. In other words, a thought comes to the mind and you have a choice what to do with it. That's the purpose of the mind, to stop thoughts or let thoughts in. But the conscious mind is only about 1 to 10% of your entire brain activity. 10% maximum of your thinking is conscious. The rest of it is utterly unconscious. At least 90%. Maybe as much as 99% of your brain. They don't know. They're only guessing. And I'm giving you the medical scientific facts. Maybe it'll change in the future. But you know what, the minute they say, at best, most of your thinking is utterly unconscious. And it has to be, or else you, how could you function if everything that happens by thought has to be consciously decided? You couldn't operate. Your brain would be overflowing. You'd be absolutely destroyed with confusion. But God has created your brain like this to function. Listen to the speed of the brain. The human brain, remember, God has created this. The human brain is capable of 1,016 processes per second. That's what the experts say. Which makes it far more powerful than any existing computer. In fact, the slowest information traveling through your brain right now in this room, put your seatbelt on for this, the slowest thought or bit of information going through your brain, guess how fast it's moving? It's moving at the speed of 268 miles per hour. The slowest bit of information. This is faster than a Formula One racing car, which can maximum go at 240 miles per hour. What about storage in your brain? Are you in awe at what God has created? And yet you're not aware of it. God has created to function without you being conscious of what is going on. Look at the storage of your brain. Your brain storage has a capacity which is virtually unlimited. They say we can't even comprehend what the limit of your brain is. It doesn't get used up like RAM in your computer. Its capacity, and this is what the experts say about it. They say it's quadrillion. That's what they just say. Your capacity, your brain power is just quadrillion. We can't even imagine what it is. This is about the same amount needed to store the entire world internet. Do you hear what I'm saying? God has created within your little puny, weak, frail brain that he recorded and watched over in your mother's womb. Do you know what the experts say? They can take the entire internet and put it in your brain and still you've got plenty of room to think with. This is remarkable. They actually, someone else trying to explain this, and I'm not sure how accurate these facts are, but this is how they try to explain it. One person said there is 2.5 million gigabytes of storage space in your brain. Now compare this with the top of the line iPhone 7. It only has 256 gigabytes. And yet your brain has 2.5 million. You see, the brain is 30 times more powerful than the world's fastest supercomputers. The greatest computers in our world are remarkable, but they're nothing compared to what you carry around every day. What functions within you, what actually operates within you, and that God gave you as a gift. It is the center of your nervous system, and it consists of, listen to this, 100 billion neurons. 100 billion neurons. What is a neuron? A neuron, actually, the best way they can describe it, one neuron is a mini self-contained computer. And remember, that's far too, it's way greater than that, but it's the only way I can explain to you. So only one neuron is like a mini computer with intelligence and information, and it knows how to operate. But yet you have in your head 100 billion neurons. Maybe this is why some of you can't sleep at night. You're there with these 100 billion neurons. Maybe the noise of the marching breaks in the odd time. You see, a neuron is a device for sending information from one place to another place. And in fact, each individual neuron, it doesn't stop there, it gets greater. Each of them, you can easily have 200,000 branches that lead off each individual neuron. Each neuron can form tens of thousands of connections with each other neuron. It just builds memories. And how does a memory, what happens when you have a new memory come? Do you know what happens? Each neuron sprouts a new branch. That's a memory. Physically in your brain. That's what happens with a brand new memory. So these neurons are just carrying information. They are gathering it. It is physical. It is real. You think your thought life is not real? You think your thought life's out there left wing and you can separate it from your physical real life? You cannot. You absolutely cannot at all. There was a book written some years ago called The 3-Pound Universe, because the brain itself is like a large universe. Some have said the brain is like a large mega city, which is like a nation. And just one piece of brain tissue, the size of a grain of sand, contains 100,000 neurons. And don't stop there. Not only 100,000 neurons, but 1 billion synapses. You say, what's that? Well, go read a book. And all of these are communicating together with each other in perfect harmony, in a remarkable manifestation of the design of God. Saints, this is more remarkable than the planets not crashing into each other. You have a mini universe that you carry around. And do you know what they're saying now? Some people say there's more information in your brain than in the entire universe. The entire created universe is probably simple compared to your own brain. Your own brain is communicating constantly. Even when you're sleeping, your brain is absolutely alive and active. There are as many 10,000 specific types of neurons. There's not just one neuron. There's 10,000 different types, and they each look differently. You see, your brain, unlike computers, and it's a poor example, but it's the only example I can give you. Unlike computers, our brains are self-organizing, self-governing and self-repairing. During the day they build, they take in information. They're building, building, building. But at night time, what happens when you go to sleep? Does your brain stop? Does it draw back? Does it switch off? Does your brain sleep while your body is sleeping? No. Your brain begins to store, put certain bits of information gathered during the day. You're not conscious of this. You're fast asleep. You're dead to the world. You're out for the count. And yet your brain is saying, that goes there, and that goes there, and that ought to be tied in over here. Remember, like your mobile phones now, and simple people like me that doesn't keep up with technology, I take a photograph, and I can't believe that it's immediately in my iPhone, being put in a certain box, on a certain date, with all the pictures from that particular place. And I go, how did it do that? That's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. If that shocks you, then you don't have a clue about your own brain. Right through the night, your brain is saying, now that goes there, that goes there, that goes there. 3 years ago, I tested this out. 4 years ago, when I was writing The Scarlet Woman, I was studying hard and trying to work things out and putting everything together. And I studied more different areas of expertise than I ever had before. They were outside my realm. It was a lot of new information. And I started to try this out. I went, God has given me a brain. God created the brain. God designed the brain. So I'd go to bed at night with a problem. And it wasn't spiritual. This was physical. It was the design of God. I would have these problems. I would have this information. So I loaded it into my brain. And then I went to bed going, God created this brain. And I discovered, I'd wake up in the morning and it's in its right place. I could see it. I could understand it. I knew how to do this. Yet I didn't know when I went to bed that night. Now that wasn't just the Holy Spirit. That was God has given us a brain to sort things out and to place them during the night. Can you take much more of this? This is extraordinary. Point 3 here. and I'm moving you. So we see the mind and the brain are different. The brain is physical. The mind is in the soul. It is who you are. The mind is who you are. The brain is a physical instrument you use. That's what the mind works through. But this third point, listen closely what I've called it. The plastic brain. The plastic brain. Now, up until the 1990s, all the experts, the doctors, the scientists, the biologists, this is what they were taught in all the colleges. They were actually taught that your brain came hardwired. That what you were born with, what happened in the womb or in childhood, literally before you reach the end of your teens, you can never be anything different. If you were an alcoholic, or you were immoral, or if you were a liar, you'd always be that. You would die like that. That's what the experts taught up until the 1990s. They actually said that the brain was unable to adapt at a later stage. That it wears out with age. And that it's hardwired in its early years. In other words, you get set and you're stuck. That's you. What your brain is, it can never be anything different. The experts taught that until the 1990s. But if you believed the Bible, you would have said that's a load of rubbish. And the Bible teaches your brain can be renewed. Your mind is to be renewed. It is to be changed. You're to be transformed through the renewing of your brain. But they actually, until the 1990s, said the brain is fixed. It's unchanging. It is solid. It's not malleable or changeable. What you are, you're going to die like. You know, even when I was with Candace's family, and her brother said, if a man's a gambler, he can never be free. He'll never be anything else. Well, a while later I said, my father was a gambler when he got born again. Spent 2 years paying it off. And never went back to gambling ever again, unless you call gambling on Jesus gambling. But listen, in the 1990s, everything was turned upside down, and they accepted a new theory, a new idea, as they began to investigate the brain. In fact, the 1990s was called the decade of the brain. So now they began to say the brain is not so much fixed and hardwired. But they had to create whole entire new words for it. They called it the plastic brain. Or listen to the technical term, neuroplastic. They said the brain was neuroplastic. Or they talked about neuroplasticity. Or that your brain's plastic. Listen to what it means. And this is very important for what I'm going to take you into in the weeks ahead. They're teaching that your physical brain, your natural brain, your human brain, the medical profession, scientists, biologists, and of course we knew that. I wish they would ask me in the 70s as a young boy, I knew the brain could be changed. I knew that. I wish they would ask me, and they could have known 20 years earlier, because I knew what the Bible said. They didn't have to wait to the 1990s. Listen to what being neuroplastic means, that the brain, now this is what they say it is now. It's malleable, it's adaptable, it can change, it can regrow what has been damaged, it can create new nerve cells, can begin to grow within your physical brain. So it's not just set when you're young. If Brother Jer here at 79 years old, sorry I gave your age away, just about to turn 80. Do you realize? Don't think that age affects this. At his age, he can grow new brain cells. He is growing new brain cells. If he uses it, if he doesn't use it, it gets taken away. But at 80 years old, if you use your brain, you're having new brain cells grow within your head. You see, they had to change all of their ideas. And they had to begin to teach that the brain changes as a result, listen to this, this is only a part of it, of mental activity. You see, mental activity is separate from your brain. Your brain, your physical brain can be changed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. by mental activity. Let me go a little bit deeper here. Thoughts are real. You see, I think before this you had thought your thought life could be separate from your spiritual life or your physical life. You can just think and it doesn't affect anybody or your decisions or what you do. But that's not true. Thoughts are real. They are in real time. Every single thought, every decision you make is in real time. Don't think it's invisible, out there, not affecting anything. It is real. Every single thought that you tolerate. That's why the Bible says, take every thought captive to the knowledge of Christ. Why? Because thoughts affect. Yeah. Thoughts can affect. Thoughts can build. Thoughts can become very strong. So listen, what is it to be neuroplastic? It means that thoughts are real. They become physical. They mark the physical brain. Thoughts, your mind, marks the physical brain. Your thoughts begin to wire the brain physically. Design, placing, etc. Thoughts take on physical, hard, visible nature. And you can consciously direct thinking. You can do that. When you think, you build thoughts. I don't mean just thoughts. When you think, you build thoughts. You build physical thoughts in your natural physical brain. Are you following me here tonight? Listen quite carefully. I'm going to tell you some remarkable things. And I'm telling you what the experts say. And Christian experts in this field say. I'm out of my realm here. I'm just telling you what they say about the brain. These thoughts then become physical in the brain. And you make or grow proteins with your thoughts. When you begin to think in a certain way, new proteins that were never there in your brain, they suddenly begin to grow through your thought process. How you think is creating proteins with actual thoughts. And these proteins, they say when you look inside the brain, the proteins that begin to grow with thoughts are actually like branches. Then they become trees. Then they become entire forests. Then you've got a stronghold in your brain of thoughts. You see, decisions today that you make with your thought process lay out physical networks in your brains that will direct your life in the future. Do you know what you decide, what you establish in your conscious thinking becomes part of your unconscious mind? Yes. You establish it and you go, you know exactly what you're doing. You made a choice, but then it passes into your unconscious mind. That is what you think. That is how you operate. That is what someone said, I don't know why I keep lying. You made a decision. Yes. You've now put that in your subconscious mind. That's who you are. You actually design your subconscious mind. You begin to create it by the very thoughts. Things, we will go to scripture in this, but I'm telling you what physically happens on your brain. Do you know what the experts say about this neuroplastic brain? The plastic brain, they say it can change daily. It's renewable. It's never too old to learn things. That's why we've got an old friend. She learned to drive at a very old age. She learned to swim at a very old age. She learned to do lots of things in her latter days. And even though she failed her driving test 5 times, she was determined that she was going to get her license. Eventually they gave it to her. I'm not sure I'd want to drive with her though. But she did learn. She did learn. What we think about regularly, what we give time to, what we concentrate on, what becomes a habit. Since you understand where the Word of God fits into this and where the Bible fits into this, I'm telling you why the Bible says what it says, why God says about the Bible what He says. I'm giving you the background understanding. So now you go, now I know what renewing the mind is. Now I know what meditating on the Bible does. It doesn't matter if you don't understand it. It doesn't matter if you don't think you remember it. I am telling you how to rewire your actual brain with the Word of God. You see, the experts say whatever you give time to, make a habit, will begin to grow within your physical brain. New thoughts Networks of thoughts begin to grow physically in your brain as a result of your thought life. What you keep thinking about, what you meditate on, what you keep reading actually marks your physical brain. I can take you, I'm sure, to all of our brains, certainly to mine, to John 3:16. Now I don't know where it is, but God could point it out. Do you realize somewhere in my brain there is a tree? Branches. There is growth of John 3:16. I've gone back to it so many times I can't even forget it. I can expound it. I can preach on it for an hour without a thought. There is a tree growing in my brain. Do you know that John 3:16, memorizing it, quoting it, talking about it, has marked my physical brain? And that's what happens with all of Scripture. And when you begin to obey the Word of God, now thoughts have become marked trenches in your brain. Listen, ladies, we build, we design, we redesign. Candace is always designing rooms, houses, buildings, whatever else. She's got a mind like that. I want to tell all of you ought to be designers. You can begin to redesign. I don't like that house how it is. I don't like that room. I don't like that habit. I don't like that way of thinking. I don't like that attitude. Good. Saints, are you sick of certain things in your life? Certain habits? Certain, I'm locked into this. I can't help thinking like this. That's because you marked your brain. I'm hopeless. I'm useless. I want to give up. What's the point? All of that thinking has marked your brain. But you know what? Your brain is plastic. That can be removed from your brain and you can sow in the truth of God to your brain. In other words, you can actually get rid of ways of thinking and bring a whole new way of functioning in. We can direct our thoughts. We can choose our thoughts. We can build biblical, godly strongholds within our mind. We can redesign the landscape of our fields and of our forests within our brain. This is called brain architecture. It's changes physically to your brain, chemically to your brain, structurally to your brain, and functionally to your brain. In other words, you can do this. Saints, it takes a fight, but I don't want that habit in my life. I'm tired of that way of thinking. I'm tired of that dominating my way of thinking. Then do something about it. Saints, get out and begin to plow up the field. Begin to sow some good seed of the Word of God into your brain. You see, thoughts of the mind impact the brain. The experts say they have literally, they watch and analyze the physical brain. And a thought, an immaterial thought, a thought in your mind or in your soul that began there, that thought, do you know when it begins to come into your brain? Do you know magnetic fields can be measured as it touches your physical brain? Electrical impulses can be gauged. Chemical effects can be monitored. Pontons, whatever they are activated and they can be captured on computer screens or on scans. They're watching things happen in your brain because of thoughts. Thoughts affect your physical brain in a very, very real way. They can actually gauge energy activity. Do you know your brain every moment of the day and night can actually power a light bulb? You're actually got power, energy, constantly running. And in fact, they can gauge vibrations on your brain. A thought coming into your brain actually creates vibrations. Saints, we are not victims of biology. We are not victims of my natural physical brain. I am not a victim of my genes.
Amen.
DNA.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I'll go further then. We're not victims of circumstance.
Yes.
Saints, I'm telling you what the Bible says and medical science says. We can control our reactions. You can't control what happened to you, what's been said to you. You can't be control how you were raised or what your parents done or what somebody done to you or said about you or stole from you. You can't affect that. But you can control your reactions, your thoughts, and what you allow in your brain. We control reactions. We make choices. And these choices shape the brain. This is far more powerful than medication.
Huh.
Most of the people with mental problems out there are something wrong with their brain. They say, take drugs, you'll never be off it. We can't help you, but keep coming back to counseling. You need inner healing where we'll take you back to your childhood and make you relive it. Do you realize that, and this is what the experts say again, I grew up when I was young, and there was a book that was always around, I never read it, never started reading it until a few weeks ago, and I went, boy. And it's actually by a man called Macmillan, and it shows how about 90%+ of all illnesses are traced back to the mind. But listen, the latest scientific information, they say that anything from 75 to 98% of mental, physical, behavioral illnesses come from the mind. Stress is the cause of 75% of all illnesses. Not all illnesses. There's a lot of physical illnesses. There's illnesses that do come through the genes. It does come through DNA. There are. But not most. And that actually means that anything from 2 to 25% comes from environment. If I start to tell, we don't have time, I've got to close here. But if I start to tell you that at least 80% of all cancer is an effect of the mind, what would you say tonight? 80%. There is real cancer that's genetic. There is cancer that comes from the outside. But most cancer is the product of a way of thinking. This is remarkable what I'm telling you tonight. Let me just go a bit further to epigenetics. You say, what's epigenetics? Let me explain. This is the science. And I didn't believe this when I first heard it. I went, I cannot believe this. I've got to check it. Because this isn't my realm. What's epigenetics? It's the science of switching genes on and off. It's the science. It actually happens. I didn't know this happens. That something can happen in you where your genes that are programmed can be turned on and off. They can lie dormant, not operating, not functioning. Or you can switch them on to operate in a certain way that they haven't been. This is science. They say this actually happens. Now listen, epigenetics is the signals that control the genes. They say that 90% of all genes within the DNA are affected by these signals. And what these signals do that come into the DNA, they change the structure of the neurons in the brain. Remember we said that they're like mini computers. So you actually, when signals come into the DNA, they change how the neurons in your brain operate. They activate genes and they change how our brain operates and function. Now these signals can come from the inside or the outside. They can come to your brain in the womb or in youth or in a crisis or when something happens to you. But let me tell you something, all this can be reversed. All of it can be reversed. Nothing has ever happened to you. Nobody has said it. Nothing has happened to you where that's the end and there's no hope of change. Epigenetics actually says that's not true. Your thinking can be changed. This is the science of how thoughts, now thoughts is only a part of this. Thoughts send signals that affect the activity of your genes within the DNA that then affect your brain. We cannot change the genes we have. What you have is what you've got. Sorry to tell you. And much of it is there. It's given you your eyesight. You can't change that. Sorry. And ladies, I'm sorry you can't change your hair color. It's all there within your genes. But that isn't the end of the story. We can change how certain genes function. How they operate within your brain. Thoughts can change the shape in response to your thinking. Tests have actually proved, and this is scientific, that anger, fear, unforgiveness, bitterness, and frustration Do you know what it does to your DNA? Your particles of DNA. And this is scientific. It tightens them. And it shortens them. In other words, it begins to change their appearance. This is why the experts actually say certain attitudes of the heart, certain ways of thinking, certain things that you don't control can actually shrink your brain. I mean, they actually have a physical effect on your brain. Don't think you can hate someone. And I know there's righteous anger. That's a different thing. Because you know what? It comes quickly and it leaves quickly. And it is righteous and your conscience is clear before God. But when you're angry or you will not forgive, it affects your brain. Why do you think you feel bad? Or you can feel ill with a bad attitude? It's because it's affecting the DNA. It is actually shrinking it. You see, saints, there is natural anger or fear. If a dog jumps out of a house, and I didn't expect it, a big Alsatian or something far worse, and it begins to attack me, I'm going to get scared. I'm suddenly going to have a burst of adrenaline, and I will jump over the hedge at a speed of 1,000 gazelles if I possibly can. That's normal fear. That is natural fear. But I'm talking about something abnormal that controls and dominates your brain, that never gets dealt with. It's not an emergency, God-given fear. It is something that binds you, that hinders you, that dominates you, that obstructs you. Saints, worry and stress do affect the body. That's why a lot of stress can break out on your skin or make you collapse or have other effects. It can. Stress affects you. That's why the New Testament says anxiety is sin. Worrying about things is sin. And we'll deal with this in the weeks ahead. If you are a worrier, you are sinning. The Bible says, trust in me. Cast all your anxiety on me. Believe in me. Rest in me. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Saints, you know why? It affects your body. It can make you sick. You see, the DNA in this epigenetics, the DNA is zipped up like in a sleeping bag or a cocoon. It's actually lying there. Until activated by a signal, it gets opened up, zoop. The genetic code is then read. It gets photocopied. It then becomes a guide within individual cells. There's a whole factory going on here. And this is called genetic expression. Your genes now have been unzipped and they're going to begin to act in a certain way. You see, epigenetics changes the structure of neurons within your brain. DNA gives the instructions for various functional proteins to be produced within the cells. You make a choice. Your mind sends the signal to the brain, and the brain sends the signal to the body. That is the flow of effect. That's why thoughts, you can have an anxious thought and immediately you feel sick. You can begin to think about somebody and your body begins to affect you. Saints, I'm telling you that thoughts affect your emotions, it affects your body, it affects your brain. Thoughts do that. You make a choice that affects the entire body. The science of thoughts, decisions, choices that affects your genes, opening up your DNA and has an effect on your entire body. Saints, even in our best redeemed state, our bodies are still fallen. We're still victims of the fall. We still suffer under the influence of that. But I'm telling you, if you obey scripture, if you stop worrying, you are going to be blessed. If you rejoice always, you are going to be blessed. When you choose to forgive those who despitefully use you, or pray for them, or bless them, it is going to have an effect on your brain. Do you not realize when you begin to rejoice, when you begin to be glad in God, when you give him thanks as the Bible commands us to do, do you know what starts happening? It affects your brain. Your thought sends markers instructions to the brain. Your brain is affected. Proteins are growing. New trees and new forests are growing. Things, I haven't got through my message here. I feel like I'm pulling into the harbour, into the station, and I feel I want to keep go whizzing by. But since we're going to come back to this, this is important because the Bible teaches you can renew your mind. You can take all thoughts captive. That you can think what is biblical and right. That you can have thoughts that are glorifying to God. And I just hope tonight that I've challenged you that the mind is the physical instrument of the brain. Your mind uses the brain. It's a tool of the brain. I did want to take you to Romans 6. We didn't get there, sadly. But I preached it to you actually before. And remember what I've said, or what it says in Romans 6. Read it for yourself. And it says, being crucified with Christ, we are to reckon our flesh to be dead, our old man, and that we are alive unto God to live a new life. And you know what it says? Listen this carefully. As I just close, Romans chapter 6, verse 13. And it says, yield ye your members. What's it all about? Physical members, organs of your body, including your brain. What does it say? First, know that you're crucified. Reckon it to be true. Believe it. Some of you are believing the wrong things in here. You're persuaded, I can't be different. Then you'll never be different. I don't believe I'm dead. You'll never be dead then. You're actually ruled by what you believe. But it says, know that you're crucified with Christ. Believe and reckon it to be true. But third of all, yield your members. The physical parts of your body, your tongue, your eyes, your brain. Why not yield your brain? What does yield mean? To stand beside it, to hold it forth, to exhibit it, to command it, to present it, or to offer it up to God. You are to stand by your brain. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? And all that I've said tonight, take your physical brain and stand beside it and offer it up unto God and say, God, I am consecrating my brain to you. I am yielding my brain as an instrument of righteousness, not unto sin, but I'm yielding it unto God. Knowing that I am dead to sin and that this brain will be an instrument of righteousness unto God's saints. Have you been offering your brain unto sin as an instrument or a weapon of unrighteousness? Or have you been saying, Lord, I want you to have my brain. I consecrate my brain. I offer it up to you. What have you been doing? It says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, brethren, that you present your bodies, including your brain. It's the very same word, present, yield, offer up your bodies, your brain. Why does he say that? Before saying, be ye transformed by the renewing of your brain. Do you know what he actually says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? He says, offer me your brain, and then let's renew your mind. Consecrate your brain. Yield it unto God. Give God your brain. Say, it is yours, God. And as you offer him the brain, then let's begin to renew the mind together. In fact, it says, be transformed. Be totally changed in your life. Be renovated top to bottom. How? By the renewing, or the rewiring, or the changing, or the restructuring of your thought system within your brain. Boy, man, saints, we are dealing with such real stuff in these Bible studies, and I really believe it'll help you. I'm telling you why this can revolutionize your brain. Why your brain is to be renewed by the Word of God, and you're to meditate on the Word of God. Let's stand here. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you, O God.